Let me pray for us, and then we'll welcome Tremont and you guys awkwardly again. And we'll get into it. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to worship you. We're so thankful for another day. It's a beautiful day. We come into this space carrying all different kinds of things. You know our hearts. You know what we need. And what we're asking is that you would just do your thing this morning, that you would encourage those who need encouragement, that you would strengthen those who need strength, that you would challenge those who need to be challenged, that you just wake us up to more of you. Help us to see more of you. Help us to be willing to let go of our comfort, to grow closer to you. And we trust you. We don't need more of ourselves. We need more of you. So I pray that you would just work, that your word would not go out and return void. We know that's a promise, and we're just counting on that today. And that you would do your good work in us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome Grace Orgsberg and welcome Grace Tremont. So cool to have you guys on here again for our Nameless Faith series. I heard Josh did so up there last week. I'm just kidding. He did awesome and crushed it. We both preached the same topic last week, and I was preaching here, and Pastor Josh was preaching up in Tremont. It was so fun to be able to do that, and we both love it so much when we get to be up there with you all. And are you ready to jump into the next message in our Nameless Faith series, looking at all these people Jesus had interactions with? We started with a faith at a distance and talked about a centurion and his son. Pastor Josh talked about desperate faith and the woman who was bleeding for a long period of time. We talked about persistent faith. We talked about breakthrough faith. And today we're talking about measured faith. The story that we're going to be looking at in this message today is found in Mark and Luke, but we're going to look at the recording in Mark chapter 12 and verses 41. It's got a little more to it than the Luke account. Luke kind of focuses in, and Mark kind of gives us a little bit more of a description of what's happening in this scene with this widow and Jesus. And as you flip there in your Bibles or look on your phones or just listen in, just straight up, today is about not what you have to give. It's not what you bring to the table, but faith is really defined in the opposite way. It's really measured in the opposite way. It's measured by what you hold back. And God weighs trust, and he multiplies surrender. And those two things can be applied to any situation or relationship or anything in life. I'm terrible at math. Anybody that knows me knows I'm terrible at math. My kids don't ask me math questions. I'm not talking about schoolwork math questions, which make my mind cramp. I'm talking about, like, they don't even ask me, like, basic, simple, everyday, household math questions. I don't like math. There's something about it, like, I get lost, and I know that our executive pastor here, Jim, is judging me right now, and I know that our campus pastor, Ryan in Tremont, is judging me right now. I just don't care. I'm not that interested. Something about the numbers, like, makes part of my brain go numb. It's just boring. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't, like, that's why we have calculators and Siri and ChatGPT, is so we can pick up our phone and just go, hey, what is a tip, a 20% tip on $135? I don't, you know, like, and everybody disappointingly looks at me because I can't just figure it out like that, but I just don't care and I don't want to, and math stinks. And I also just remembered that we have a bunch of math teachers as a part of our church. And so I want to say this, I appreciate you, and what you do is so important. It just didn't work with me. And that's me. It's not you. It's me. It is important. Math is super important. It's how we plan ahead. It's how we pay attention to really important stuff in our life. It's how we make sure we're prepared, whether it's financially or in other ways for what's coming. Math is an important part of how we do life. And so while I'm not good at it, I do understand that it is essential and super, super important. In fact, that's why I surround myself with people who are really good at math. One of the things that I think is interesting is how much we measure by math. You do it in your life. You measure how you're doing probably based on how your bank accounts and your savings accounts add up. We measure at church what's going on here based on people and numbers and how many spots do we have left in the parking lot and how many people are attending what services and do we need to create more room, and all of that stuff is good. But what we learned and what we're learning is that God measures different. He measures trust. And trust is often not seen in the numbers. It's seen in the story. Every meeting we have here at Grace Free Church, we stop before the meeting, which inevitably will bore my lights out with tons of discussions about spreadsheets and numbers and all that fun, crazy stuff that you have to pay attention to when you have two buildings and a bunch of services and all these other kind of things. But we pause before we get into all that, and we just tell stories about what God is doing, because trust is measured in the story. And the story we're talking about today is a story about a widow who comes and doesn't have any idea that she's being watched, quietly enters this scene and gives two small coins, and Jesus looks at those small coins and says, "That's more." And I'm finding the longer I walk with God, the more baffling the math is that he does. It doesn't work on my calendars or my calculators. It's not something Siri can figure out. It will make ChatGPT's brain cramp because God's math is different. Less to us is more to him. He says that if you lose your life, that equals gaining your life. That's confusing. He says that weakness actually equals strength. Or here's one: obedience and subtract comfort. We don't like that. We don't like that one. But that equals growth. Or in this case, with this woman in this story, taking a little and subtracting our human logic equals more when you add faith into the equation. A story of a woman who couldn't afford to give what she gave, and this is the woman Jesus says, you better pay attention to. The story is found in Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. I just want to read it for you, and then we'll talk through it and some really important lessons that happen on this. And I know that anytime you talk about money, people get uncomfortable and I don't care anymore. Good, fine, whatever. This isn't about money, but money often reveals something about our hearts. This isn't about whatever it is that you've been clinging to. Maybe it's a relationship that you need to hold open-handedly. Maybe it's control that you've been trying to grasp onto and hold over your life. Whatever it is that you have been clinging to, this is about your heart. It says that in verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. Giving out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." This story is incredible. It starts different than a lot of the stories with Jesus. In a lot of the stories with Jesus, he's doing something. He's going somewhere. He's healing somebody. He's preaching a message. Last week, we talked about how he went back home, and he went into a house, and he was preaching, and people just gathered and packed the place. And this story starts with Jesus going into the temple, the place where everybody was coming and going from worship, and he just sits there watching. I find that like a little bit uncomfortable, maybe terrifying, that sometimes, all the time, Jesus is watching. And this scene, I was going to sit on the stage, but I didn't want to mess with the camera people in Tremont. I know you can't see me if I do it. But he just comes down and he like just sits there and he's just watching. And what he's watching for is not the exchange of money. They had these, the temple treasury, the offering place was like these huge boxes. They kind of had like this ornate horn on the top of them. And they were like big and rectangular and tall. And they were designed to make a lot of noise. Like they were designed to cause a scene. People knew that giving was worship, but somewhere along the way, it had changed from that. It had changed into a show. Giving wasn't about what you do quietly between you and God to show that you trust God with the things you hold most dear and most valuable. That's what giving's about. It's not about the money. It's about saying, "God, here are my open hands. I do not want my money to be the God of my life. So I'm going to trust you with what I'm most nervous about, with what scares me. And I'm going to give to you the first of it before I pay all the bills and figure out how many Starbucks pumpkin spiced lattes I can have this month." Have you had those? You've been chugging those down? Oh, yeah. Like, that's the scary. Like, that's a picture of trust. And that's what giving is. It's an expression of trust, taking those things that scare us the most, that we want to cling to the most, and going like, "Okay, God, I believe that everything that I have has come from you. My ability to earn this money, my family, my house, all the, like it says in James, every good and spiritual gift has come down to me from my Father in heaven. And I'm just going to say in a very physical and a very private and a very uncomfortable way, here you go." They knew that. Like they knew that's what it was about, but somewhere along the way it got twisted with these big ornate boxes. People would come in and they would put their money in with a little extra zip to it. They put a little pepper on that omelet. They just chuck it in there a little, and it would clank around, like make a loud, obnoxious sound, and the wooden, tall, empty boxes and the ornate horn thing on the top, it would cause a big racket. And somewhere, this thing that was supposed to be about worship, was supposed to be about your heart, became a show, and giving became about clout, a spiritual clout, and who was the most important in the temple, and who was doing the most for God. But God doesn't measure by what you do, and trust is not about what you give, it's about what you hold back. They would come there and make this big scene, and here Jesus is watching the entire thing, and I wonder what he would see if he looked at our hearts. He's not watching to hear who makes the loudest clatter. He's not sitting there observing to see who does the most. Who's the loudest for him and the kingdom? Who's really helping this temple meet its goal next month? No, what Jesus is sitting there observing is the same thing he's observing of you and me right now. It's the thing he cares about most, your heart. And our heart is often betrayed by how we act. And how we act shows what our heart is trusting in. Too often for me, too often for me, I trust in myself. I'm the one I believe in to figure it out, to get it done, to fix it. If I can just get my hands in it and work it and figure it, say the right things to the right people and not say the wrong things to the wrong people and just use my skill and my intellect and my all the things that I have, then maybe I can fix it. And that is betraying a heart that is no longer dependent on God. So here he is. He's sitting and praying, and he's here at the, can I just say that, can I interrupt this message for a second? Anytime you hear that in this building, that's a helicopter for those of you that are in Tremont, that is the medvac next door, and you should say a prayer for that family or whatever's going on. Just a little timeout from the message. But here Jesus sits, and here he sits, and he's sitting there, and he's looking, and he's watching, and this woman comes up, and this woman comes up quietly, unnoticed, meekly. She comes up, and almost like a piece of background, she throws two coins in, which would not have made the loud sound. It would not have drawn any attention to her. She was not doing this for show. This was not about clout. The few cents that she put in the offering box, it was not going to help the temple meet budget. It wasn't going to pay for the new whatever, you know, that they needed at the temple, whatever campaign or whatever thing that was going, like it wasn't going to buy a whole lot of spice for the incense thing or whatever. This wasn't about the show. It wasn't about her clout. It wasn't about getting the applause of people. She just quietly steps into the scene and puts these, to our math, meaningless gifts. Sometimes you drop this amount of money in your car and don't even bother to find it. You have vacuumed up into the car wash place more change than this woman has put in the offering box. To our math, but sometimes the people with the least can teach us the most about trust. Sometimes the quiet ones, living out in almost unmeasurable, simple obedience, can teach us the most about what faithfulness looks like. It's right here. It's happening. He like calls his disciples and he's like that meme. You ever see that Leo DiCaprio meme? You know, like he's like, he's like pointing like, hey, yo, gets the disciples over here. Like this is what he's been looking for. This is what he's looking for in us. And it's what he's looking for to show these people that have walked with him, that have seen him heal, that have been to church every day with him, listen to his teachings. This is what they have to learn from. This is absolutely incredible. He calls them over to him and he's like, look at this. Here, look at this. I tell you, truly I tell you, with emphasis, he says, this poor widow, so that nobody mistakes it. This isn't some person in disguise. A poor widow has just put more into the treasury than all the others. It was not more on our standards. It was not more by our calculators. It was not more by our calculations. It was not more by our measure. But to God, with his math, it was more. Small acts done in faith. Small acts done in faith will do more, mean more in the economy of heaven. It's not about the big, it's not about clout, it's not about show. Matthew 17, 20, faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. What's a small act of faith that you have been undervaluing? What's a small act of trust that you have been walking by because you feel like it's insignificant? Small acts done in faith move big things. And faith is measured in trust, not in total. What Jesus is showing off here in this widow is her great faith, not the sum of her offering. She gave all that she had, he said, everything that she had to live on. Faith is measured in trust. Not in what you do, not in what you give. And true generosity comes from surrendering. It comes from surrendering to God what is God's and trusting him to take care of us. Faith is not about what you have or what you do. It is mostly defined by what you are not willing to let go of. What step you are not willing to take, what you are not willing to give, what you hold back because you don't trust that he is good and that he will take care of you. This is hard, I know. So hard. Wrestling with this all week was not fun because I've had to look at my life and go, what have I been holding back from you, God? What actions, what have my actions been betraying about my heart? Where has my heart been? What have I been trusting in? What have I been counting on? Who have I been believing to provide for me, to take care of me, to fix the things in my life? Who? Jesus here is redefining faith and he's redefining worship. And it's saying like, it's not about this, it's about this. It's not about all of those people that you have watched come through the temple as we're hanging out here, making some big noise and all this clatter, and look at them, and they got the clout, and they're putting on the show, and did you hear how much, can you measure, can you guess how much money they put in by the amount of clatter and noise it makes putting this stuff into the box? No, Jesus is redefining faith and worship. It's not about giving. It's about surrendering. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he will do in you. It's not about making noise and a splash. It's about quiet obedience. It's not about what leaves your hand. It's about what fills your heart. It's not about what's being seen. It's not about being seen. It's about being surrendering. And the worship team's going to come out now, and I just want to wrap with a challenge. This is a moment where Jesus calls out her faith. The quiet faith. The small act of obedience, which meant more than all the others that looked really big to all those who were standing around. It was this widow who, if anybody had a right to say, I'm going to hold on to these coins because I need them, God would surely understand. Guess what? He would. If anybody had a right to say, I don't need to put this offering in, I just am coming to the temple to worship, it would have been her. This widow, so close to God's heart, in such a tough situation in her time and her culture, if anybody had an excuse, if anybody had a good reason to hold back, to not surrender, to not trust, it would have been her. But here she is in the quiet, unnoticed, not knowing that the creator of the world is watching, not knowing that the Messiah himself is sitting just a few yards away, paying attention to the scene. Here she comes in a beautiful act of surrender and worship, just saying, I trust you. I trust you. This is about trust. And maybe some of you sitting here, you need to like trust God instead of your finances, instead of control, instead of security, instead of a relationship, instead of trusting in him or trusting in her to fulfill your needs, or trusting in that position, or trusting in that job. You need to realign your heart. Do you believe he is good? Do you believe you can trust him? Do you believe you can depend on him? Do you believe that every good gift comes from him? That everything you have is from him? Do you believe that you can take your hand and hold it open and trust him with all of you? Do you believe that? Here's step one of the challenge. Examine where you might be holding back. Examine your heart. Examine what has been keeping you from trusting in him, from depending on him. And then choose trust over comfort. That's part two. Maybe some of you need to stretch a little. Here's Luke 6, 38. It says, give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is a verse that comes in the context. Listen to this. It's not about money. It's about trust. It comes in the context where right before this, he says, love your enemies. Maybe some of you are sitting here and you need to stretch and start to love and pray for your enemies. This comes in the context of Jesus saying, be merciful. Maybe some of you need to stretch in the mercy that you're showing to your kids or the people around you. It comes in the context of Jesus saying, don't judge. Maybe some of you need to stretch in getting off your high horse and start to humbly serve those that for a long time you have looked at as less than, even though you'd probably never say that out loud. This comes in the context of Jesus saying, forgive. And maybe some of you need to stretch in the area of forgiveness, because you have been withholding it, not even realizing that the person that you are hurting most is yourself. And it comes in the context of giving. And maybe some of you need to stretch, because because your finances are betraying that you trust in yourself. I don't know what area you need to stretch in, but I know that you can trust God with all of it because He is good and His math is different. He measures trust, but the second part of that, maybe you slept on it in the beginning. So here it is again. He measures trust, but He multiplies surrender. And Gideon took 300 men and defeated an army of tens and thousands with pottery and lamps. And a little boy gave Jesus a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And Jesus took those loaves of bread and those fish and He multiplied them and fed 5,000 plus. God's math is different, and whatever you surrender to Him will be given to you. A good measure, pressed over, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. God, we thank You so much that we can trust You even with the things that are difficult to trust You with, and we all have them. Different areas of our life that we cling to, white-knuckling it. Fear, anxiety, pressure. We think, we can't live without this thing. I can't live without this money. I can't pay my bills without this money. I can't go on if this relationship doesn't work out. I don't understand what happens if I don't have this job. I need this. And we white knuckle and try to control and plow through life, just driven by fear and anxiety. And all along you point to a widow to set us free. And you say, if only we would hold it with open hands and trust You, that You would multiply our surrender. Doesn't mean this widow became rich by our math and calculations. But it would be hard to say in this moment that there would be anybody richer in the kingdom of God than this widow with this small act of obedience. Help us to live like her. In Jesus' name.